On today's episode of United We Ag, I talked to world-renowned agrometeorologist Guy Ash. Guy has worked all over Canada throughout the years, giving lectures and consulting for some of the largest corporations and sporting leagues around, corporations like McDonald's, Bayer, FIFA, and the National Hockey League. Currently, Guy is the global training leader for Pessl Instruments. We'll spend some time talking about his past projects, as well as his current role, where he trains dealers and growers on how to effectively utilize environmental monitoring to make smarter on-farm decisions and increase their profitability. Before we kick off the first ever episode of United We Ag, I want to take a moment to thank you for listening to my show. My name is Derek Brazda, and I'll be your host. I come from a small farm in eastern Nebraska, and I've worked in agriculture and agronomy for most of my professional career. Back in 2019, I was given the opportunity to join the Meadows USA team as the Key Accounts Manager for the Midwestern United States. I cover pretty much everything between the Rocky Mountains and the Great Lakes, so a pretty sizable chunk of the country. When I first started, I was completely taken off guard by having instant access to an international team of agronomists and scientists and engineers that are continually talking and problem-solving and creating solutions for growers all over the world. But the more I looked, the more I realized that while we do farm in different ways, the same basic principles of agriculture apply to everyone around the entire globe. We share the same struggles, celebrate the same successes, and our community is a lot bigger than what sometimes seems to get represented on social media. Agriculture includes everything from a family spending time together while they tend a garden, or a specialty crop grown in a small controlled greenhouse, as well as large-scale row crop and livestock operations. Agriculture is just as much a person in a city high-rise with a balcony planter as it is a flower nursery or an apple orchard. We grow food, we grow fibers, we grow oils in many different ways spread across many different acres, but we are all a part of this big grand world of ag. There is no one way for a farm to look, or no one way for a farmer to look, or act, or be interested in. On this show, I want to explore the more unconventional side of agriculture as well as the conventional. I want to talk to growers and professionals that are doing innovative things to stay ahead of the game. I want to talk about new technology and not just focus on what it can do, but why is it important to both the grower and the consumer? Again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope you enjoy it. Please let me know on any social media if you have any comments about the show. I hope you have as much fun listening to this as I had making it. Thank you. First things first, this podcast is brought to you by Meadows USA. Meadows USA is a holistic IoT company with tools for smart agriculture. With products ranging from crop view cameras, artificial intelligence-powered bug traps, soil moisture monitoring, and microclimate environmental tracking down to a field level, Meadows USA has solutions for whatever kind of agriculture you call your own. For more information, please follow at Meadows USA on Twitter and Facebook, or visit MeadowsUSA.com to find a dealership near you. That's MeadowsUSA.com. Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of United We Ag. My guest today is world-renowned agrometeorologist Guy Ash. So Guy, throughout his career, has been he's held a lot of different roles. He's been both an analyst and a manager for the Canadian Wheat Board, a chief meteorologist for Precision Weather Solutions. He's been both a consultant and a lecturer around the field of weather-based agricultural solutions. He's actually received both provincial and national awards for his contribution to developing Canada's weather-based agricultural solutions. He has consulted for large companies like Bayer, McDonald's, and even FIFA in the Canadian Football League. Currently, Guy is the global training manager for Pessl Instruments. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what exactly is agrometeorology and why is it important for growers to understand. So thank you very much for being here, Guy. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Derek.
Well, you've been a lot of places and done a lot of things. I feel like I didn't quite do you all justice by what I chose to include there.
No, it's pretty flowery, so thank you very much. Agrometeorology, of course, is simply put as the study of weather and climate and its impacts on agriculture, if you break it down to its simplest terms. But inside that, there's an awful lot of components to it that are very important to crop production. Ultimately, as we know, weather, climate, more so today than ever, is a huge influence on crop production. Where I farm and live in Western Canada, that can be up to 70% of the annual production risk that a farmer faces in terms of a crop in dryland production. So understanding the impacts of how weather, and weather is all things that you can imagine, precipitation, temperature, diseases, insects, soil moisture, forecasting, impacts a crop development. Ultimately, yield and quality of the crop is extremely important. And living in an area where the growing season is short, I'm in the northern part of North America, Canada, have a short growing season, so you fully take advantage of what you have in terms of your production time. So,
yeah, absolutely. So you'd mentioned it takes into consideration more than just weather. I mean, you're exactly right. It's like a giant system of everything that's happening out, you know, in real time out there in the field, essentially.
Yeah, essentially it is, you know. It's weather impacting all those things, whether you're a biological entity, a human being, or a bug. You're affected by weather. Don't all get up in the morning and run and jump if it's cold. There does insects, right? Or a disease doesn't like to propagate under the extremely hot and dry conditions. Or will a plant like that? Because it'll wilt. So weather impacts us all. And in terms of the overall economy, North America, outside of agriculture and everything, I've heard this number of $2 trillion impacting a given economy in a year. That's everybody, you know, transportation right through agriculture. Yeah. It's a huge, huge impact on what we do.
So being able to understand it and understand what each individual weather system or each individual event, how that kind of ripples throughout the rest of the economy, is it's pretty important information.
You know, always meteorologists get a lot of fun with them that they can't forecast or do a proper job. But the reality is that understanding and making precision predictions on things like even crop production and disease risks and irrigation or warning events can be done based on the technology today, and it's improving every day because of very site-specific information and site-specific forecasting, cloud solutions, site-specific data collection. We're never going to totally do away with the risk, shave off percentages of the risk, and become better at what we do, for sure.
So a lot of what you did early on in your career was working for both the government of Canada and as well the Canadian Wheat Board and trying to develop crop models. So would you mind just explaining a little bit about the process behind that and what exactly you were doing?
Sure thing. Yeah, no, the you know, part of working for a provincial government, which is similar to a state government, and a federal agency would be like a federal government in the U.S. side, is being able to predict supply chain, you know, and understand what you have in terms of the supply and quality of the supply of your crop in a particular area, so that you can then forward sell, forward market, you know, look at what the world production is in terms of grain as well. So not only does it have to be done for your country, but you need to have quite a macro picture of what is the entire number, for example, of wheat production worldwide. How many million tons is that, or and where is it coming from, and what's the breakdown in terms of quality and type of wheat? So there's different classes of wheat, of course. So you need to know all that, so you can tend to predict out what future prices will be in terms of a crop like wheat. So it's the fundamentals, as they call it, the fundamentals of weather and its impact on pricing on a market. So did that in a company called the Canadian Wheat Board, which was a Crown corporation, quasi-Crown corporation, and was private at the end. to be able to understand that as we forward sold and sold wheat into a number of different countries. On a more state type project or provincial project, providing extension right to the individual farmer on different issues is very important. So one of the first things we put in place was a network of equipment for late blight monitoring in potatoes, because we have a huge potato industry where I live, and late blight is an extremely detrimental disease. So back then, you know, you didn't have the ability to put things right on a field. It was beginning. Like today, you can really monitor in detail. You can put in a whole network of weather devices and sensors that were able to predict when late blight would occur in terms of a model from weather data, and then help a grower time the spraying, because that crop is sprayed a number of times for that particular through there. So you're either shrinking the spray window or widening it out. That was to unsave the quality of the crop, the yield of the crop, and ultimately it can also lead to secondary infections if it's not handled properly. So that was all done as part of a project with our growers association in our province, as well as the government and companies familiar with, like McCain's or Simplot, and ultimately McDonald's, because McDonald's buys those french fries from those growers association. So very, you know, a lot of this has to do with very detailed stations and information collected and running it through sophisticated models that help predict things in real time or even forward looking in terms of what's going to happen into the future in terms of your own crop or other places of the world as well.
So yeah, essentially it's kind of, you've got the perfect balance between in-field actual research that, you know, you're collecting these information, you know, installing data loggers that are taking these environmental readings, and then plugging it into these in-depth analysis functions where, you know, if this requirement and this requirement and this requirement are present, then, you know, your likelihood for a disease or your likelihood for this problem to exist, you know, increases or decreases. So it's more like a more accurate way than just going out and, you know, like where we go out in cornfields and just count the kernels around and then count the population and, oh, well, we should have estimate roughly this bushel. It's more of it's a lot more precise and a lot more in depth than something like that to predict what your true output is going to be.
Yeah, I would always say boots on the ground are extremely important. Boots on the ground are extremely important because you get the true picture of what's happening. So doing crop scouting and that will never replace that, but a lot of the tools and technology today with computing and cloud computing, cost of computing coming down, you can certainly use modeling to do a lot of things, and you can also put out sensors very economically to actually know what's going on in a particular location. No longer does it have to be kind of a regional approach. You know, each individual farmer can monitor their fields, have tools that help them predict a particular problem and react to that problem in a timely fashion, no longer having to wait. So the classic example is a disease, where the disease, for it to propagate, you got to have a crop that's susceptible to the problem. Pathogen has to be there. Environment and triggers whether the actual disease will become an epidemic in that field or not. You don't have the right conditions. In other words, typically wet and right temperature range, long periods of leaf wetness, you won't have it. So understanding the microclimate within a grower's field and fields is very important then to knowing where you should spray or not spray for a particular problem. And you can break that down for any type of problem, whether it's insects or knowing when to irrigate a particular field. Amount of water used for that is driven by the environment, and of course the crop, the pump of the crop, sucking that from the soil moisture, there's a soil moisture. So this is why they, with IoT, Internet of Things, you're not anymore talking about a regional view, but certainly down into an individual field for monitoring field problems, and even into management zones within fields. Break it down even further than that with the technology today.
I mean, it just seems like we're getting, you know, exactly like that. We're getting smaller and smaller in terms of what we're able to collect and analyze on a data platform, which it can be very overwhelming at times to see that just massive amount of raw data coming through. And how does a guy take something like that and turn it into an actionable tool?
Yeah, the key is what you said. It's daunting that the volume of data is escalating. And how do I really get an action out of that? What's my action item? So this is the holy grail in what we call digital agriculture today, is not overwhelming someone with data flow, having to interpret data. You know, it's just can't be done. It has to be using very sophisticated software and dashboard that presents problem very simplistically, but uses all the complex science behind it to be able to put it into a simple form to understand. And for me, you know, a guy like me, I like to look at it as a stoplight. Green, yellow, red, some different hues in there depending upon the problem. So you need to have a system that says, okay, I'm going to spray today. Are my conditions there for spraying? Well, there's a lot of factors that go into that, as we know, right? You know, the wind speed, wind gust, what's my relative humidity, what's my temperature, what's my delta T, which is a survivability of a droplet, right? How big should my droplets be? How high should I be above the crop with my sprayer? Oh, a host of things. Well, all that has to be simplified down into a system that presents it fairly easy in front of you. Otherwise, you know, you haven't got the time to do that in real time and react to problems. So that's part of a bit of dashboard that lays it out, really simple in a color scheme. Also having sensors there that are providing you that data for that particular location. So, you know, I have many locations I need to go and look after. So I need to have a fairly good sensor network of those things, temperature, humidity, rainfall, wind speed, wind direction, so they get a very clear picture. That's what the design today is building these dashboards that make it far easier to use with artificial intelligence built into it.
So that just kind of springs us into my next question here, and it's based around what are you doing currently. So your actual position is global training manager for Pessl Instruments, but you know I work with you on a fairly regular basis asking questions. You know, so you're not only training growers internationally, but you're also training, you know, us as employees and, you know, showing us, you know, how to communicate this message, you know, to our system of dealers and customers all over the country. So what are kind of your primary job functions?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to say that I'm a jack of all trades. You know,
you're one of those where you're a jack of all trades and a master of almost all of them from what I've seen.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know if I am, but you know, I strive to get there. Everybody does. You know, as a global training manager, you got to train, you know, wherever you are in the world on a particular problem. You're talking rice production one day to oranges on another to wheat or corn, you know, in the afternoon. But all these things, it doesn't matter where you are, revolves around, like we talked about, weather and impacts of that, different insects or irrigation or crop development, wherever particular problem is on that crop. I train on how to use IoT tools, Internet of Thing tools, which includes weather, a lot of other things, crop implement, crop view cameras, bug traps, automated traps, irrigation probes for irrigation, forecasting, weather collection, soil analysis, all these things are part of IoT solutions. And that continues to grow today as new technologies come along. To the grower, you know, I always like to say there's no way we're going to do this unless there's an ROI. There's a return on investment to a grower that has to be there. So I, you know, as a company and as myself, I should be able to simplify down what I'm teaching you, a very simple sheet, one page sheet that says, here's your problem, here's how it can be looked at, and here's what on average would happen by using these tools on your farm for that particular issue and your return on investment and cost benefit analysis. So it all comes down to that. That's how it has to be really laid out for any dealer or any grower who's systems in place. So, you know, there is a lot of training as well that has to go on with staff, such as Derek and everybody else, because there's lots of updates that happen with technology. This is certainly not an industry that's just based on one company. We call it a stacked industry. In other words, it has to rely on a number of components that work together to provide you a solution. So you don't only need to know about agronomy here. You need to know about telecommunications, SIM cards and modems and things like that. You also need to know about hardware. What does that hardware function? Hook sensors up to it. How do I test things? And ultimately, combining all that together for the agronomic solution. What is the agronomic solution I'm striving to use for my particular application? Give me a better ROI and cost return on my production.
That's something that is, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're farming. If you're farming, you know, commercial corn, soybeans in the across the Midwest United States, if you're into potatoes and canola up in your area or down, you know, on the sides of the country and either vineyards or apple orchards or citrus orchards. I mean, the term return on investment is something that perks up the ears of every farmer across the entire globe. So I think you touched on it and said it very eloquently, but each solution has to be something that makes sense for a specific problem. You know, there's a lot that IoT software and technology can bring to the table, but it's all about utilizing it right and making sure that you understand what you're monitoring and what your goal is. So there's not one silver bullet that a guy can install a system and then have unlocked all these secrets of the universe. It's got to be like you said, a systems approach where you're compiling data from every source that you're able to and use that to shift what your decision-making process is going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's not a silver bullet. It's part of a bigger system, things that you do. No, we're all going through over, you know, I've been around a while and had improvements all the way through agriculture, yield gains, as we call it, through herbicides and GMOs and a different technology. We heard the word precision agriculture a while back. And this is just the next part of really improving management practices as well as yields and quality of the crop through a new set of tools, very timely tools. You know, we're talking about being able to react to problems throughout the year now because we have the systems in place to monitor and adjust. But, you know, again, that's all dependent upon the management practices that you bring to the table as well and how you farm. Not all these things are going to work for everybody, but there are tools there. And for every crop that you spoke about, doesn't matter what the crop is, from grapes to peanuts to oranges or canola, there are tools that come with IoT that can help ROI and cost benefit for your particular farm.
So there's a term that you had used, and as I got to learn a little bit more about it and what it's measuring and kind of what that means to the farmer, and as I've mentioned it in conversations to some people, and it's, I would say, probably still relatively an unheard of notion in the greater scheme of things. But could you dive in a little bit more as to what is Delta T?
Yeah, Delta T is a term used in spraying. It's not the only thing that you need to monitor for spraying. Of course, there's a whole number of management things that you can do yourself with your sprayer and droplets. But it's an expression that really talks about the survivability of a droplet after it leaves a spray nozzle. And in other places like Australia, Delta T is used extensively for looking at the survivability of the droplet. What do I mean by that? So when a droplet leaves, enters the environment. And again, weather in the environment impacts that droplet, believe it or not, in terms of will it last? Will it evaporate? Will it cause a crystalline product? Will the product drift? Is it too wet and the product actually doesn't stick to a leaf and roll off the leaf? And you know, is there residue left? Is it dried up too quick? So when we say survivability, it's calculated by something referred to as dry bulb and wet bulb temperature, which is really an expression of temperature and relative humidity. So simply put, if the temperature is very hot and the humidity is very low, your delta T value will be a high. It'll be a high number, so 10 or 12. And that means is that droplet does not survive. It enters the environment, it evaporates. Now have a crystalline product that, dependent upon now where other factors come in, wind or temperature inversions, and drift or hang or drift off target. On the other end, if you have a low delta T, like down below 2, that is a condition where you have you can have warm temperatures, but really high relative humidity, so 90% and greater, or leaf wetness. So in this case, droplet really doesn't evaporate into the plant because it's too wet. There's dew. So the product isn't being absorbed and can run off the leaf. Again, it can also drift if there's a very strong wind and cause that droplet to drift downwind on off target. So in simplest terms, it's called the survivability of the droplet based on the environment. But you want to be between a window of 2 to 8, 2 to 10 when you apply delta T. That typically occurs, no surprise to anybody, early in the morning to maybe midday. Those are typically when you find delta T that are acceptable for spraying. Now, you've got to take that into consideration with speed and wind direction and all those things as well, part of it.
But I mean, you look at information like this, and anybody that runs a custom spraying operation, anybody that's spraying their own crops, you know, you're essentially giving them a measurement where they can see in advance how effective their spraying is going to be just based off of the environment. You know, not based off of any machinery errors or whether it was going too fast or going too slow or what the chemical was. It's a tool where, you know, as a grower, I can sit down on Sunday night and look at my delta T forecast, and I can identify the times of that week that are the best suited for me to go out there and spray. Assuming that everything else is held, you know, kind of constant, I do a good job spraying, then I'm going to have the best chance at effectively, you know, killing my weeds or targeting that bug or whatever the case may be. You're going out to spray. So where I have dealers that are kind of pitching this is, you know, they're monitoring this. You know, you can set up an alert on your account where, you know, you as a crop consultant or as a farmer or whatever level you're at, you can actually get a text message alert when your delta T is outside of that window. So if you know you're out in a sprayer, and you know, sometimes you just got to get things done. Maybe there's rain coming. Maybe the weeds are already getting too tall. But if you know that the survivability of that drop is diminishing, you can maybe go out and put on a different spray nozzle to get you a little larger droplet size to, you know, reduce on some of the evaporation. Or there are some steps you can take to help yourself that you wouldn't ordinarily have known about just at the touch of a button.
Right. Like, you know, I simply said this is what it is, but then it's how do you adjust your game plan as you go along, right? Nothing's perfect. You're out there farming. Never is. So, you know, you're always pushing a window, whether it's delta T getting too high or the delta T is too low. You can adjust by larger droplet size, for example, if it is getting higher, right? So the droplet does make it to the particular crop. Or shields on the boom, stop wind. There's all kinds of things that can happen. But as you indicated, delta T is two things. One is it's a calculation of what's happening right now, instantaneously at your location, because if you have a device in that field that's measuring that, see that. And two is the forecast out into the future. So we haven't talked about that part here, but forecasting today has improved dramatically because these devices that you put out produce a precision forecast for that individual site-specific location, because that device contributes to the forecast model. So it's what we call nudging and tuning, adjusting the forecast to what's actually occurring on the ground. Then you rapidly update your forecast every hour. So you should be able to get a very accurate site-specific forecast out for the next 3 or 7 days, hour by hour, and update that every hour. So now you have a very, you know, much higher trust in my forecast for my location. It's not a forecast for a town, forecast for that device in the field.
Yeah, and that's
which gives you a delta T.
That, I mean, there's a lot of products out there that are giving hyper local weather models, and I think that the one that Pestle Instruments is using, you know, in conjunction with some partner companies, you know, around the world that we work with, but the goal is to get your unit, whatever you have out in the field, connected into the bigger system, like you said, so that it's helping to ground truth and change the forecast based off of what's actually happening.
Yeah, if you have this site-specific precision forecast for your field, that opens a whole bunch of tools, additional tools, actionable tools. One is we're talking about is spraying protection. But the live data at the field collected, what's occurred, and the precision at the future, then you can start doing what we call work planning tools. So tillage operations, accessibility to field, spraying, harvest window, a whole bunch of things that can be looked at. Because I have now a good set of data for that location, plus a forecast that's very accurate for that location based off of that device. So actionable tool set, the toolbox gains a number of other tools that you can use because of it. So this is where weather is so important, right? It filters into so many things that you do. If I'm collecting and producing the proper data and forecast, then I can implement other tools as well.
So tell me a little bit more about what is going on with kind of what you do, you know, day to day, working with customers, some of the products that you're working with today.
Oh, you know, there's lots of things. Typically, we train on different topics. We provide a lot of webinars and face-to-face training with them. I've traveled with COVID-19 restricted, so it's okay too, because you can easily with technology today be able to give them a webinar and get a number of them on a webinar and talk about a particular problem. So it may be something like irrigation, where you want to talk about soil moisture and irrigation and explain all the ins and outs of how do you do that today with the technology that's there. So in-field weather stations and in-field sensors for measuring soil moisture at multiple depths. So no longer is it one. You can have a probe that's measuring every 4 inches down to 3 or 4 feet, giving you the soil moisture, soil temperature, soil conductivity, and taking those values for that particular location, putting it through a series of actionable tools that let you see what's my balance of water for that particular location. Am I overwatering or underwatering? Am I keeping it within a target zone so that I can maximize my yield, maximize my cost for irrigating? I'm not leaching nutrients too deep. So there's a whole bunch of things that you can do once you have that site-specific data and apply a template to a particular crop and a particular location, and then manage that template over time for that particular field so that you are maximizing what you're getting back in return. You're maximizing your water efficiencies. You're not overwatering. You're applying the right nutrients to an individual field, so forth. So that can go for a irrigation situation or even dryland production where I am. A lot of my crops are dryland, but understanding soil moisture is fundamental to your overall yield. So I've got 4 inches of stored water in the soil versus a field that has 9 inches of stored water. I'm certainly going to manage that different in terms of what I do with my fertility, because each inch of moisture in a soil equates to so many bushels of yield. So I can take my number for wheat, multiply it by 4 inches of stored water, and that gives me kind of what's in the bank at the beginning of the year. And then it's a look out into the future. Do I assume that I'm going to get another 10 inches of rain, or am I going to assume 5 inches of rain? That comes up with your targeted yield for that particular location. So understanding the amount of soil moisture, even in a dryland situation, is extremely important for what you put on in terms of fertilizer, or do I hold back, buy in mid-season, a whole bunch of things. We teach, you know, right down to the details of those type of applications, or, you know, in disease situations of how I use this system to manage disease propagation. development on my farm in terms of the different models we have. It could be Fusarium in corn, it could be Fusarium in wheat, it could be Sclerotinia soya or Sclerotinia canola. A whole host of different topics that we're teaching on. So what we've done is put it into a system called e-learning. We've built an e-learning portal that allows an agronomist and farmer to have these tools, different fundamental tools for understanding IoT in field. So spray applications, just finished one on nutrient and soil moisture, disease management. There's a host of different tools that are available on our e-learning portal for that.
Excellent. So before we kind of get things wrapped up, and thank you for all of that information, I want to talk a little bit about, so you've done some consulting for some, global and national sports leagues, correct? Tell me a little
That
bit
part
about
of me.
what you've done in your work with FIFA and the Canadian Football League.
Now, all of them require accurate weather information. It's kind of twofold. If you're working at a particular venue, about the safety of the players, safety of the fans, and everybody at that stadium. Understanding meteorology from a safety perspective, it can be as bad as severe weather and lightning detection and storms, or things like hail or cold for windshield, poor ice conditions. If you're talking soccer, then they get it right into dealing with the grass and turf, which has to be managed because they like to play on real grass. That understanding their grass situation and their water use and watering. There's crews of people that are involved in all that in any one of these venues. So I've worked games for FIFA, a women's soccer championship that was here. Canada. I helped set up the protocol for the Canadian Football League of severe weather around a stadium in terms of lightning detection and storms and safety. And it's quite amazing. You tend to underestimate the power of these storms. I think US, you understand them better than we do. You've had severe weather that have gone over events and had to delay games for a period of time. Because the amount of lightning and lightning events was in the thousands that occurred. And that's again done through precision technology that allows you to see where the lightning bolt is, literally the individual meter or yard on the ground. Hockey, the National Hockey League, NHL, outdoor games they host, they have to be managed from a safety perspective as well as the weather. What's going on for fan safety and player safety and all the ice conditions that go along with it. So there's a whole bunch of things that, in terms of pure meteorology, that impact sporting events and ultimately safety and fan safety and player safety is what they're looking for, and for a well-played game under fair conditions.
I mean, being the tried and true Canadian that you are, you've played a little hockey in your day, haven't you?
Oh yeah. We've all grew up here. That's kind of, I guess, similar to what's down there in terms of football or basketball. We all grew up in a hockey rink. I played outside at -30 Fahrenheit. That's typically how it was done. Your dad would take your skates off and stick them under his armpits to warm them up between periods. That's how we played. So there's lots of players that come out of Canada and everywhere else in the world today that made it to the NHL. Quite fascinating to see the game and how it's evolved over time. But yes.
I know that the NHL isn't necessarily as popular as, say football or basketball or baseball in the United States, but I do have to say that the Stanley Cup playoffs is probably the most exciting playoff system in all of sports.
It's intense.
It is.
The level they play at today and the precision and speed at which the game is played is just. That's what's changed the shape and the fundamental conditioning of an athlete. If they're on the ice for 40 seconds, they're drained because it's
Oh
100%,
man.
110%.
It's completely crazy. And it's entertaining. It's amazing. So As we kind of get wrapped up, so a couple of days ago, Guy and our irrigation specialist, Marcos from Orlando, actually put together a little a presentation with Precision Farming Dealer Magazine that I will copy the link to that presentation. It's about an hour long, but Guy and Marcos go a little bit more in-depth on how to actually use the PESEL Instruments toolbox of digital solutions to help generate more profits for your farm. So if you get a chance, that would be a great resource to listen to, hear Guy talk a little bit more about specific products and what you can do to increase your revenue on your farm. Guy, what are some good ways for people to reach out to you?
Oh, you can contact me in an email. Certainly just guy.ash@metos.at is probably the best way to get a hold of me. Usually I'm on the phone or webinar, so would suggest that way, or they contact you, Derek, too, and they want to get more information if they want to learn about our e-learning platform that helps educate and train. I think that's a big thing in the future, is making sure everybody understands and is trained in this technology. You can reach me to my email and I can send you to the appropriate people on that as well.
Sounds good. And I will have a link on Twitter for all of Guy's contact information as well as soon as this episode airs. So there's only one last question that I have for you, and it is not really related to anything, but Guy, if you were a professional wrestler, what would your walkout song be?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
You got nothing off the top of your head?
No. Nobody's asked you that before. Oh, I couldn't answer off the top of my head. I have to think about that.
well, maybe we'll have an answer by the time this goes on. But I guess if you're hopping in the tractor and you know that you're going to be going back and forth all day, what's going to be on your playlist? What are you listening to?
There's got to be some AC/DC in there for sure. Got to be some Shania Twain in there.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Urban in there. All of them. They're all good.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you going in depth. Again, check out that video. It'll be pinned on our Twitter for a little bit more information on and some presentations that Guy has given. But again, thank you very much, Guy, for your time.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of United We Ag. If you're enjoying the show, then please let your friends know about us. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at United We Ag. There you'll find information about the guests and what future shows we have in store for you. If you have any questions or concerns about the show, or would like to talk about possible guests for future shows, please reach out to me on any social media or email me at unitedweag@gmail.com. Thank you and have a safe week. Starlight, press the 9, come on.